Blog Talk Radio.
It's Monday. There we go. Monday, September 25th, 2017. And Taking the Limits Off is on the air live from your West Side studios located on the third floor of Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church. And, man, we have a show for you. It's going to be good. It's Missional Monday. Y'all know what it is. Outreach. Church outside the four walls. We're going to talk about some stuff. It's Missional Monday. It's your boy, your host, Ms. Danielle King. Y'all, and guess what the look at what the wind blew in. Let me rephrase that. Look at what the hurricane blew in.
I only missed 1 week.
I know, but you know
it. I know it. It did seem like I kid you not. I was gonna come in Wednesday, then I said Friday. But I promise you, I was. I miss it.
Man, look what the wind blew in. A good hurricane. Look at my Maria blew in. Right, hurricane.
For it to blow me in, it got to be a big hurricane.
We're going
to
change yours to Bertha. Bertha just got some. Have we had a hurricane, Bertha?
No.
I don't think so, right? They probably
give me Hurricane Anastasia.
You know what? See, I know some Anastasia. The good pastor from the south side of Chicago, my brother, Pastor Cornelius Parks. What's going on, sir? What's been up, man?
Man, you got this thing, man.
Oh, my God. It's going to be fun, y'all. So let me give you the rundown of how you can be a part of today's show. Today's topic of conversation is going to be hot, y'all. Y'all ready? God uses big leaders in small churches. Yeah. See what I'm saying?
Literally.
And it ain't talking about just talking about size. But God uses big leaders in small churches.
My church so small, I got to eat a large pizza outside.
You know what? Oh, God. We ain't going to make it.
My church so small, you say amen and keep bouncing back off the wall.
You know what?
Amen. Amen.
Hey, at least somebody say amen back.
I think you had a tennis match.
You know what? This dude needs help. He needs help. Let me get a rundown of how you can be a part of today's show. If you're already listening on the line, say, my church so small.
What?
Come on. Get out. Get out.
When they set up an offer, they got to do it one at a time.
In my best Kevin Hart voice, are you done?
My church so small. If they all set up at one time, you think it's a riot. I'm sorry.
Again, in my Kevin Hart voice, are you done?
My church so small.
Yeah, come on. Come on. Come on. If you're already listening on the line, simply push 1. And you can be a part of today's broadcast. If you're listening via Blog Talk Radio, simply dial area code 347-934-0546. That's the show call-in number. You can be a part of today's show. If you want to email the show, email us, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. Takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. We would love to hear from you that way. If you want to subscribe to our podcast, simply go to your iTunes account, go to your Blogger account, Stitcher, whatever it is, however you decide to listen to podcasts. Just Google us. Do a search for Taking Limits Off with Dana and Devon. You will find us there. Social media, Facebook, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. facebook.com/TTLO Radio. You can find us there. Twitter, you can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. Again, you can tweet the show at LO Radio. We would love to hear from you that way. Also, the live streams are up and running. Ustream.tv. You can find us there, Ustream.tv. We'd love to hear from you that way. Again, that's Ustream.tv. And then last but not least, Facebook Live, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. You can find us there. Love to hear y'all. Hit us with your comments, your questions, your jokes, your laughs, all that good stuff. We're here to have a good time in the Lord today. Man, what's been going on, man?
Man, it's been rough on this end, man.
I seen you some good news. I saw y'all, you won another ship.
Man, listen, championships is off the chain this year for me, man.
I see.
Golly, man. I think I'm at 11.
Wow.
11 ships this year alone.
Wow.
Man.
Softball.
Softball, yeah.
Right,
man.
Right. Wow, man, that's huge.
Yeah,
so what was this most recent one? What was the last one? I just saw you had the trophy.
Washington Park, Sunday's Best, man. There's like 28 teams every Sunday. We play 3 games apiece.
Okay.
And, man, we was we got a win, went out pretty much because the team that we was playing,
mm-hmm.
they beat us and put us in the losing bracket.
Oh.
And so we had to keep winning. And so that Sunday we played 5 games, and we had to beat them twice.
Oh, wow.
And, man, I hate to say this because a lot of my buddies, but we slaughtered them both. I mean, destroyed them both teams. And they're a better team.
Uh-huh.
They are a better talent, but we just demolished them both games,
like
man.
Like they said about football any given Sunday.
First game was like 9-0, and then second game was like 9-2, something like that.
Wow.
Like we just, man, it wasn't no competition, man.
That's good. That's good work, though.
Yeah, but I was kind of upset because you was looking for that fight, and we didn't get that fight at all, man.
You know what, though? Sometimes, man, if you want to go biblical with it.
Oh, man.
Sometimes
yes,
you'll be prepared for a fight, and God will just make the enemy lay down.
Yeah.
It's,
yeah.
You, all
I
you got to do is go pick up the spoil.
Yeah, man.
See, come on,
yeah, I agree, man. That's good stuff. Good business.
Oh, God. Lev better say no coffee. What?
Bro, I didn't have my coffee, man. I did.
You sweat a little extra. You all right, man?
Man, listen, sinus and allergies.
Well, that was the next thing I was going to ask you.
Oh, my
so,
God.
So this weather, is, even though it's nice out,
man,
it ain't agreeing with you.
It's not agreeing with me at all, man.
I saw the picture you posted about going to urgent care.
I went, man. I had to.
Wow.
Man, and even now.
I know. That's all I'm looking like.
The only reason why I
Please
really,
don't let him pass out in here.
Man, the only reason why I really came today because I missed last week.
Don't let him pass out in here.
Man, listen here, man. It's rough.
I'm just thinking about the ambulance got to come up all these steps.
I'm thinking about how they have to take me down.
I think we might try to.
A sliding board
lower
to create
you,
something.
Lower you down.
Yeah, man. Man, it's rough, man.
and the lift chair broke, so you can't.
I probably wouldn't fit in there anyway.
Oh, no, Doc, we got some heavy hitters.
Oh, yeah, I got the, oh.
That industrial.
Yeah, big boy style.
Hey, hey.
So when I be at the park, I got this chair, man.
Uh-huh.
It's a big boy chair. Like, like literally, it's tall. Everybody wants the chair because it's tall. And
it's an outdoor chair?
Yes,
oh, okay.
Sir.
Okay.
Just straight for big boys. Big fellas. Big fellas, man. and man, everybody love it. They don't understand. It's so comfortable. It is, man.
Where you get it from?
Cabela's.
Oh, so it's like, is it like okay? So it's one, it's outdoors type.
Yeah.
It's made for that. Okay, But everybody
want
it, huh?
Oh, they want it, man. They want it.
Hey, ain't nothing wrong with that. I ain't mad at you.
So what else been going on, man? How are things down at the First Bethel?
Man, First Bethel, good. What's been killing me at school, man?
I see. I've been there. So I was gonna ask you about that,
man.
So
I feel like Sam Cooke. It's been a long time coming.
Just a refresher. Just a refresher. And we're gonna talk to y'all on Facebook Live, and let me make sure my Ustream people is good over here, and those of you on Ustream too. Yeah. So we're gonna talk to y'all in a hot second. Y'all who don't know, my brother is in school. You're going to get your master's degree,
master
right?
My master's in divinity.
Yeah, master's in his MD.
Yeah,
going to get
MD.
His master. Why do we call it that? Because we don't want to say the whole word.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Right. So he's going to get his master's of divinity. And you started school back in the August.
Yeah.
Mid August, something like that.
Yep. Yep. And
okay.
Man. I got to see what hurt me. Twice a week, I got a lecture class that you got to log on.
Yeah.
And they know if you're on or not.
You're preaching to the choir over
there. That's right. Right. We at the same school.
You're preaching to the choir right now.
He's for his doctorate. I'm for my master's.
And I know about that. I trust me. They threatened to ask. You know, I wasn't logging in.
Yeah.
Or literally, I would log in and not even be in the house.
See, I got a catch to it. I log in. I got my recorder.
Right. Right.
They're recording everything.
Well, it's available. I mean, you can always go back afterwards, but
yeah,
my problem is that I never had the time of the lectures. I don't know about what your schedule is, but the time of the lectures, now they do have more evening lectures that are taking place
for you.
Right.
I got a morning and evening.
The time of the lectures for the master's, when I was getting the master's degree, those were not. They weren't. They didn't work with my schedule.
12 to 1:45.
Oh, see,
and then 7 to 8:45. Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Tuesdays and Thursdays. Ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a bit much. It's a bit much.
I
just what was it, 2 weeks ago? I think it started for 2 weeks, two and a half weeks ago. It started for me. I actually logged in. I ain't gonna say school started because school had already started, but I actually logged in. Because pretty much everything was just getting the materials and the books and everything, and and I was sharing the book list, and it's ridiculous. One of the classes has six books.
Oh yeah.
It's one class.
Yeah.
Has six books, but here's the blessing. So you remember I got the scholarship, right?
Scholarship.
So here's the blessing. I got the scholarship. What the blessing was is that all of the remaining monies that I needed for books and everything else got covered.
Look at God.
Yeah. So that was the blessing. So, but it's a lot, man. It's a lot of reading. You know what's been a friend of mine, because my schedule now with all this other stuff and going to Oak Brook every other day and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Audio books has become my friend.
Okay.
So a lot of the books are available on Amazon Kindle. And because they're on Amazon, on the digital version of Amazon, then you can download the audio version.
Okay.
So literally, I can sit around and just put my headphones on and just be listening to
it.
And people go, well, you ain't taking no notes. I'm like, well, yeah, y'all don't understand. The fact that I'm listening to it, so when I do go back to read it, it's already familiar to me.
Wow, that's good.
So
that's good.
That's the way I do stuff. So, but man, it's a lot. And been praying for you, man. I was wondering because we hadn't talked about it on air. And but
I need prayer.
I know it's going to be.
I need prayer, and anybody want to do some homework?
Really?
Man, listen, my first week, I had a 10-page paper, man.
See, we don't.
Where'd I get that from, man?
That's how they do. That's the. See, people tend to think that online stuff is easy. But what they don't understand is because it is online, it's actually a little bit, it's a little harder.
I believe so.
Because they try to push more into a small amount of time.
And acceleration.
Yeah, it's accelerated. So you do have to do a lot more. So you get these early on, assignments. So you know, even right now there's one class is for apologetics again, and I, the only cool thing about it was I just did apologetics 2 years ago, so I'm cool with it.
Uh-huh.
But we're doing everybody has to do another one of these oral presentations. So you have to literally sit there in front of your laptop or whatever with your camera on.
With your camera on.
And give a presentation or give an offense or an offense you have to be able to defend. I'm sorry,
right.
Defend a statement. So you and a partner who you just get partnered with randomly makes a statement, and then you have to defend that statement based off Bible.
Man,
and you have to both sit there and do it, and you agree to it, and y'all both get to, both of y'all sharing the grade.
Let me ask you a question. See, that's the part.
See, I ain't
now. Let me ask you this, because you know I never did the online thing. Is it good to make friends? Because
absolutely.
Because they try to befriend me, but
exactly.
I try. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I'm being antisocial.
When you know, you gonna need them.
Okay,
trust me. When you get ready, when you get down to
what a friend we have in Jesus.
Man,
yeah. Okay,
man.
I got you. All right.
Man, Jesus, John,
okay.
Peter.
All right, I just want to know because I'm acting antisocial. I'm being honest.
Susan, no, because they and what you find is you feed. I kept contact with those people even before I got back, even for the whole scholarship thing happened.
Gotcha.
Because you can feed off each other, and you'll find some. If you open it up just a little bit, you'll find some great preachers in there. Some good preachers in there from different backgrounds.
Okay.
So they give you their link because they're going to ask you where you're from.
Yeah.
And then the first thing they're going to ask you is when they hear you from Chicago.
Yeah.
They're going to want to know, hey, man, how is it? And then you're going to find out, you're going to meet a preacher from Baltimore. And you're going to be like, hey, bro, it ain't as bad as you think.
Right. Exactly.
You know, yeah. So, but man, it's good stuff, man. I'm enjoying the reading right now.
I'm not.
It's good stuff. It's good stuff. So. Real quick, man. So I was going to. I'm gonna see if I can play it, but I want to ask you this. So I know you're still doing the boycott NFL thing.
Yeah, I am.
All right. So Donald Trump yesterday on Friday was in Alabama. I don't know if you saw the clip, and he made this statement about the NFL players kneeling during the national anthem.
Uh huh.
And he pretty much said, and I'll paraphrase, I was going to try to play the audio. I'm going to see if I can find it. But he made this statement pretty much saying that he wishes that some of the owners, when one of these guys would kneel down,
he
said he would go down there and take that SOB.
Uh-huh.
And he didn't use SOB. He used the words.
Uh-huh.
And throw him out and fire him.
And fire him.
Fire him, because that's his favorite word.
Yep.
Fire.
Yep.
You know, because he still thinks this is a reality show
exactly.
for him. And what's amazing is, where he was in Alabama, first of all. All right. He's at a rally. This dude is still having campaign-style rallies.
Exactly.
Now, this rally was for – it wasn't for him. It was for a person who's replacing a governor or a senator or something like that. But he's at this rally, and he uses this language, this incendiary language, in front of all of these redneck – all of these redneck, right-wing, undercover KKK crowd. And, of course, they cheer him. And he says these things. And what's amazing is you say something as the President of the United States that really cannot be replayed over the air.
Exactly. Exactly. Apostle Rogers, if you could call in, man, I read you, man. You put up an awesome status,
yeah,
man. And you know, normally if it's longer than five sentences, I don't read it. But man, you put up an awesome status, man, and I appreciate you, my brother. But listen, this is the thing, man.
Mm-hmm.
The scripture say he'll make your enemy your footstool.
Okay.
And so sometimes,
okay.
What we think is a bad thing can turn out and work out in our favor, because yesterday they had more NFL players, teams collectively took a stand like never before.
Mm-hmm.
You had the greatest quarterback potentially of all time took a knee yesterday,
mm-hmm.
as in Tom Brady. And Pittsburgh Steelers didn't come out the locker room until after the national anthem. I didn't get a chance to see a lot of other because
Seattle and Tennessee didn't take the field at all until after the anthem was played.
Okay,
they stayed in the background.
Wow. So I didn't get an opportunity to see all who partook into the matter. However, what's going to be interesting now, now that 45 made the mistake and openly, because he's under fire with athletes, period, over the weekend.
Yeah.
Because he says something to Steph Curry.
Yeah.
About them coming, uninviting them to the White House.
Right. And and Steph Curry had already declined.
He already declined.
So he wasn't going.
He already declined.
Right.
So now you have the greatest, the greats in NBA coming together.
Yeah.
Now you have the entire, I'm not going to say the entire NFL, but now people looking at it from a different perspective.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of how what Colin is doing, it matters now. And so now the catch is within the next 2 weeks, I wonder if he's going to get a phone call. No, I'm serious.
Okay.
If he's going to get a phone call for trial, workout, or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I was thinking about this today, and I have – if someone said this, I apologize, but I haven't heard it.
Okay.
We putting up a big fuss about a man taking a knee, but you don't see nobody put up a big fuss when they took it out of classrooms.
Oh, yeah.
They took out the Pledge of Allegiance out of classrooms. Not just with just prayer.
They took prayer out, but then they took the pledge out.
They took the pledge out, and the pledge was to honor the flag.
A Pledge of Allegiance.
Now, I don't hear no big fuss
nowhere
of people talking about the disrespect of the flag, now our country.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in certain places that it should be mandated.
Mm-hmm.
Because of our country. And the schools is one place, especially in elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
It should be where – this is where you learn, because when you get in eighth grade, you got to know the Constitution. So all that is covenant with one another.
Mm-hmm.
But we have taken some of the very things that mean so much to us in our country away from our kids, but we're tripping on a man taking a knee.
Yeah, I just, you know what it is, man. It's so funny, and it's amazing with the art how they've tried to shift the argument about why he was actually taking a knee.
Of course.
Now it's being just he wants to be disrespecting the flag. That's not why he was taking a knee.
That's not.
He was not taking a knee to protest the flag.
That's right.
He was taking a knee to protest black and brown folk being killed by and abused by police officers.
That's
the whole purpose of his taking the knee. And he said he was going to continue to do it until there were some changes made. And funny how now nobody, all these people who don't like him taking the knee, never say why he's actually taking the knee.
Exactly.
They only want to say he's being disrespectful to the flag.
There you go.
At the end of the day, it has nothing to do with the flag.
So my question is, now that all these other players have taken a knee, which is the greatest, are you going to stop supporting him, Tom Brady? Are you going to stop going to Pittsburgh Steelers game? Are you going to stop going to a Seattle Seahawks game?
No.
So now that his stand on taking the knee have now created a great magnitude of support because of 45 put his making the wrong statements.
Mm-hmm.
Now all things work out together for the good of them.
Mm.
Now let's see what's going to take place now that the owners have – the pressure is turned back onto the owners now.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what they're going to do with Roger Goodell, because he still has not signed his contract.
Yeah, but it's coming.
It's coming. However, it's still not signed. And then also we got to – if this man don't get a tryout.
Mm-hmm.
Now if you get a tryout and you tell me he didn't make it, the cut – okay, but you can't tell me that there are 64 quarterbacks better than him. You can't tell me that there's not at least 10 teams in the NFL that he can't start on right now.
Yeah.
You can't tell me that.
Yeah.
I mean, even if you give him a tryout, you can't tell me that Jay Cutler is better than this man. And I'm just saying Jay. I mean, that's other quarterbacks that got a quarterback rating that's terrible.
Yeah.
This man is still young. He still got legs. He still can move. He still can throw.
Mm-hmm.
You can't tell me that. He was on a Super Bowl contender team.
Mm-hmm.
You can't tell me that. So give him a shot.
Yeah. Speaking of, and we just to transition just a little bit, I was a little upset, man. You know, I got a little, my prophet got a little nervous.
I heard, man. That's what I heard.
Because that was a guaranteed loss on my list.
A guaranteed loss.
I said, what the world?
Now what? One of the things when you're boycotting, you can't be around a lot of
because
they tell you everything in their social media. So yesterday was the day of upsets, I hear.
Yeah, it was. It was
a lot of upsets yesterday.
Uh-huh.
A lot of upsets.
Uh-huh.
That's all I kept hearing, so many upsets. But, yeah, that was the biggest upset of them all.
Yeah, I forgot they was even playing until somebody said that they won. I said, say what? So I was a little shocked by that one. Anyway, real quick, man, this situation, moving on. If you guys got comments you want to call in, y'all know the number, area code 347-934-0546. This situation in Puerto Rico, man, is just like they still got no power.
Nope, and it won't happen for 2 months.
Like none. I talked about this on Friday. Like the whole island ain't got no power.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out how the airplanes landed, but I'm assuming the airport got a backup generator or something.
Because they opened up one, right?
Right.
America.
Flights are landing.
Yeah.
So, but I'm assuming they got a generator because you got to have some radar.
Yeah. And you know, it's the thing, too. They don't have the capacity.
No.
They're lacking so much. I mean, we're still battling, dealing with Hurricane Harvey.
Mm-hmm.
We're still battling with those. And I forget, what was that?
Irma. Right.
And now, was this Jose?
This was Jose and now Maria that
and
got
now
them.
Maria
was the one that got them.
Man, so it's sad, man. And I cried, man. I cried because it could be us, man.
I mentioned this the other day, man. It was not a fear of hopelessness. It was a fear of being helpless.
Exactly.
Like you want to do something
and you can't
because you don't know like what to do. It's like you know I was listening today. They got a plane going. I guess Boeing is somebody donated a plane. They sent a bunch of stuff down there, $65,000 worth of products. That was that's really not a lot of stuff.
Right, but
it's a lot.
Yeah,
you know, it's a lot when it's not organizations. This was just grassroots effort, people just collecting stuff.
Yeah.
So Boeing is supposed to be getting another plane to go down there, and they're looking for people to go. And I'm sitting back like, wow, they just want to fly you down there so you can go down there and help and do whatever you can do, and then just come back. And I'm like, you know, it's like you don't know what to do, and then based off of people's different circumstances and situations, you don't have the capacity to be able to do it. Not necessarily finance, because they're gonna fly you down there if you want to go.
Right.
But it's just the fact of you get down there.
The conditions.
Right. Yeah.
And this is the bad part. We're not used to that water. We're not used to that food. It's a lot that we're not used to.
Mm-hmm.
And so you liable to get sick or something going over there trying to adjust.
Yeah.
Into another habitat.
Yeah. I think it's more of, it's just the accommodations because everything is out of whack, you know.
Everything.
So even if you went, where are you staying?
Right.
You know, and I know that's us looking at it from a side of where there are people who live there and got no place to stay. Well, we got to know to be complaining about trying to go down there and help.
So the blind can't leave the blind, though. I'm serious now. I mean,
that's another
thing. It is. You know, if you're on an airplane, they tell you save yourself first.
Put your mask on first.
Put yours on first.
Put your mask on
even
first.
Even in front of your kids, in front of everybody, put yours on first. Help yourself first.
Yeah.
And so I do understand, even with Harvey, because I'm meeting again today to try to send some people down to Harvey, because I got some good friends that's in Houston, and I haven't not made the connection yet with Florida. But, you know, the hardest thing about this is us, when tragic hit, we try to take advantage in so many ways that we become embarrassment to our culture because they do. I'm thankful that they have not put a lot on media, what's going on, what went on in Houston. But man, it's embarrassing how us is take advantage looting.
Well, let's talk about that.
Okay.
Cause you haven't been here since, the last time you were here, it was right at the breaking of the Kanika Jenkins situation.
Yeah. We got to talk about that.
And now the funeral is this coming Saturday.
Yeah.
One church apparently turned it down.
No.
That's not what happened.
No.
Okay.
Rock of Ages, and I said the name.
Oh, they said Rock. They tried to do the Rock of Ages.
Here, let me say this.
Come on.
Because
help us out.
That's the one. There's a lot of controversy with this.
Okay.
Lewis Chamberlain. You know Lewis. Lewis that used to be with Jody. Yeah. Yeah. He was taking a stand, and all of a sudden, there was a twist
in the whole matter from Jedediah Brown, from Lewis, from everybody.
Mm-hmm.
She did a Facebook Live dogging all the activists, saying that y'all heart wasn't right, y'all motives wasn't right, you was in it for the wrong thing, blah, blah, blah. Protest is off. Don't nobody protest. So now everyone's thinking that she got brought off. And so now it's all in the uproar. Social media was off the chain. My inbox, and I can show it to you, was off the chain because Lewis, I guess in his group, put my name in there as a reference, point of reference. And so now I'm wondering when I woke up this morning, I'm getting all these Facebook requests or these inboxes. Now, this is one thing I did not play a part in. I never went to one of the rallies, and I guess I used wisdom because when it first started with Andrew Holmes, with the Jamal, and then with the Jedediah feuding through social media.
Right.
Now, I can say this. I did get an opportunity to meet and try to rectify some of the madness. It's
irreconcilable.
Irreconcilable. It's not going to happen because it's a money game. So what happens now, and I don't care. This is a talk show.
It's
a talk show. Is this what's the name of this?
Take limits off.
What do we do? We take the limits off. So I found out that if there's a crime or some type of crime in the city of Chicago that the family may get an opportunity to receive money, sue, or anything.
Yes.
They have these.
There are some funds available.
Not only that.
Prices, yeah.
Not even crime victims.
Okay.
But there are a group of lawyers.
Yeah.
That's sitting on the side.
Yeah.
But we got activists.
Yep.
Picking which lawyer.
Yeah.
To use.
Yeah.
And they get a percentage
of the whatever they of
the settlement. That's how a lot of these activists
Stay funded.
Get their funding. Jamal, you know, I don't know. I met him several times, but you know, you was just put up this big fuss. He was given a center called Dream Center. Turned it down. Now he got something bigger.
Who's that?
Jamal. The boy driving the 2017 Jaguar now. Bro, you don't have a job. Bro, you on the front line. Bro, you got GoFundMe accounts. Now, I'm not saying you're doing anything wrong. But perceptions is everything. And you got to don't let your good be evil spoken.
Yeah.
Because even if it's legit, you got to take that money off. I mean, you can't splurge right now. This is not the time to splurge when you're asking people to donate you $1 million so you can get this center going. This is not the time. And so their combative with one another is Jedediah Brown. Watch this. Earlier this year, there was a little kid by the name of Travis that he supposedly been his godson or stepson or foster son or play son or what have you. The mother went on Facebook Live talking about how he was a crook, how he got money out of all of this. So now Mama Teresa, which is the mother of Kanika, people, she then got connected with some people, one lady named by China something.
Okay.
I mean, I'm getting hit with all this, man.
Okay.
Another lady named China that is from Chicago, but her and Jedediah Brown are in cahoots. So she done dug up all this information about Jedediah Brown, talking about how he's a thief, how he does nothing but play on people money, I mean, on their emotions. He stick with you to the until everything is over, and you'll never hear from him again. She even talked about the situation when he did that Facebook Live when he wanted to take his life. Now, she talked about how, if you think I'm lying, I would give you the lawyer's information, and the attorney will tell you that the gun that he held up to his head didn't have no bullets in it.
Okay.
And so they're going back and forth on social media. So now Mother Teresa, which was granted to use Rock of Ages.
Okay.
For free.
Mm-hmm.
When you're doing activist work, when you're doing rallies, when you're doing all this stuff, it takes funding.
Yes.
And so Jedediah and them created GoFundMe accounts because you have many people that travel in and out from Chicago to different states. They had to buy food, bus transfers and all that stuff so they can get up there.
Mm-hmm.
The mother said she didn't know anything about the GoFundMe accounts. She didn't know that they get funding for this.
Mm-hmm.
So after they supposed to get all these people out of jail, after they brought all this food, it's supposed to be like $2,000 left over. And I don't know how much was the original amount. However, the mother have cut the cord with everyone. And now it's allegedly said that she is meeting with the hotel's attorneys. So now you got family members that was all in that we know that now posted on social media. We confused now because she's all of a sudden one day she was all in. Then the next day she's out. And she said openly that she forgive whoever did anything to her daughter. But those activists, I'm praying for your soul. I mean, she's the way she put it out there, like she just turned completely on all the activists that was out there. Because she felt that they was out there for fame. They was only out there for the media. They was only out there for this and that. And so, you know, some of the activists I really hurt. I mean, you know, if they had the heart to do it or not, I can't judge that. But some of them I really hurt. And this now have become a big thing. So this week, you're going to be seeing some big major changes in concerns to this Kanika case.
I'm just sitting back watching the circus.
It is. It is.
I'm sitting back watching the circus, and it's not even a good circus. It ain't Ringing Them Brothers. It's the Trinas.
It is.
It's a carnival.
It's
a circus, and I just you some of the names you just sat here and named to me. All I heard was clown, clown, plus clown.
And that's what they said.
it's some of these cats. This is their time to get their 15 minutes. You can't stand in where you were, like you said you were gonna do on this side of town. So now you want to take advantage of this situation to try to put yourself back in the limelight after you disappeared for six months to a year. I ain't going to even get started on that.
I totally agree.
It's you know, and it's unfortunate. It's no longer about Kanika.
It's no longer about Kanika. To be honest with you. And after Andrew Holmes did what he did, it became no longer about Kanika then. And so it become a major controversy. Controversy to not just the family, but to the whole city. But now you got so many people that traveled in and out of Chicago, Illinois.
Right.
I mean, just to come in to rally with these people.
Right, right.
And she just cut. I mean, she cut it. Like, it's over.
Yeah, it's interesting, man. So you know where the funeral is? The funeral, they said, where is it going to be?
It's going to be at Salem. It's at Salem.
Okay.
It was allegedly at Rock of Ages.
Right.
But it moved to Salem. She put it on her page.
That's going
to
be at Salem.
It's going to be at Salem.
Okay. House of Hope.
House of Hope.
10,000 seat House of Hope.
Yep. And it will. Well, you know, it's probably one of them things now.
Now it's I'm going to be there just to be there. To see who else is there.
I think it would have been filled, though. I really believe.
Well, Rock of Ages probably would have been filled.
Even this, the way they've been rallying, I believe.
See, maybe I'm out the loop, and that wouldn't be the first time. Maybe I'm out the loop as far as the protest, the people standing outside. I'm watching some of these videos on Dude Page, and I see these people out there and all that stuff, and that's fine. I'm just a little. You know, I don't know, man. I'm a little shocked. I'm trying to see what did you say? Oh, get to the point. Okay. I'm a little shocked at the how the story is turned away from. You know, I'm still waiting to hear the autopsy results.
Well, that's another probably 2 weeks.
The autopsy results.
You know, now the story was, you know, I'm reading some of these, you know, she was found frozen. Now we found out the freezer wasn't even working.
Exactly.
She suffocated. She was not frozen.
Exactly.
So you know, you got all these different stories. You got some of these same people that you just mentioned passing on the same bogus information on their Facebook posts.
Exactly.
All these
different videos.
Yeah, all these videos that somebody clearly is doctoring. And it ain't the media.
Man, technology is something else.
Dude, this is an iPad right here.
Yes.
We can take this same. Yeah. If these were Mac computers right now,
yeah.
I could, even though you're sitting here,
yeah.
I could portray you not being here,
yeah.
and they would hear your voice and not see your face.
Exactly.
So please, man,
yeah.
miss me with that.
Yeah.
Miss me with that. So
it's you know, it's sad now because there are some sincere people,
yeah.
that was on the front line,
yeah.
and there were some frauds.
And unfortunately, the frauds outnumbered the good people.
Yeah.
And it makes everybody look bad.
Yeah,
it really does.
You know, Jeremiah chapter 17, I believe that's verse 9, says the heart is deceitful above all.
My.
And you, when you're doing something this capacity,
yeah.
Especially when you're trying to make a name for yourself.
Somebody's death.
This is the worst time to try to make a name for yourself.
This is why when you and I talk about who the next person is,
yeah.
who the next leader is,
yeah.
this is why nobody ever wants to rally behind anybody.
Exactly.
Because even you.
Yeah.
People who know you,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So the people that know you, but there's a lot of people who don't know you, but
yeah.
they only know what they've seen and stuff
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
They would probably want to follow you, but they're afraid.
They're afraid
because of all of the other stuff that people in your same position
Most
did
definitely.
And ruined.
All right. So here.
So they're afraid to support you. They're afraid to come out and help you. And then after they hear about something great that happened, they'll be like, "Man, great! You know, I'll help you next time."
I didn't know Jedediah was a pastor. He's not pastor anymore. He quit the church to be an activist. Now, that disturbed me. That disturbed me because when others are doing their Facebook Lives that's knocking him, first thing they say is that preacher.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
These preachers, these pastors.
Yeah.
And so when they do that, to be honest with you, we all categorize.
When they put this, when the story broke about how bogus Andrew Holmes was, I seen people list him as a preacher.
Right.
And he is not a preacher.
He's not a preacher.
They grouped all of him. They was like him and the rest of them preachers.
Yeah.
That's the first thing it
yeah.
said. And I said, wow, this cat is not. And like I said on here, I met the cat at the 15th when they did the crisis management thing. I met him. Sat
yeah.
in the room with him for an hour and 45 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, this might be a blessing
uh-huh.
for him.
Okay.
Because his statements really have not been proven to be false yet.
Okay.
They really haven't.
Okay.
Now with all this other hoopla going on.
Oh, about her walking into the
freezer
by herself?
Now all this other hoopla going in. You forgetting what he's saying.
Right. But again, it goes back to the question, dude, who called for you?
Well, that's his job. It is.
But
they have a grant.
Right. But one of the issues is that, you know, who do you, you know, who so you, he gets a grant.
Right.
That's what
first
I'm saying.
Responding.
He gets funding.
They get funding. It's
right.
for them that work together.
Yeah.
Don Valentino,
yeah.
Reverend Simpson,
yeah.
Andrew Holmes, I forgot the Mexican lady.
Yeah.
And so they are mandated.
Yeah.
Now, this is the catch. We can't get mad for him showing up because he show up to everything.
No, you're not mad about him showing up. My issue is you stand out in front of the camera saying you represent the family.
Definitely.
That's where my issue kick in.
What, social media? Yeah. It wasn't the radio. It wasn't the
But he was in front of
yeah.
But
yeah.
it was some news cameras there.
Yeah.
And he was saying, I saw the tape. On behalf of the family.
Let me say this now.
When the lawyers for the family say, who is this? Like, how you see the tape before the lawyers? And we talked about this already, but how you see the tape before the mama see the tape?
And that's true. But based upon what the mother is doing now.
Yeah. So I don't even know if she still has the same attorney.
I don't think so.
See, I haven't seen her on anything lately.
If she had the same attorney, she wouldn't did no Facebook Live like that.
Oh.
Because
yeah.
attorney,
they tell you to stop talking.
Stop talking.
Yeah.
You don't talk. You don't. When you're in public,
there's a settlement.
My point. Exactly.
There's a settlement.
That's what's the big fuss now.
How much is your dead child worth?
That's the big fuss now.
Ask the question. How much is your dead child worth?
That's the big. You hitting it on the head. That's the big fuss now.
Especially since you probably didn't have no insurance. How much is your dead child
worth?
I'm not surprised.
They didn't even have money to bury her.
I'm not
and then
surprised.
They said that
whoever, I don't know where the body is at, but they said that they the funeral is worth $30,000 or something. Now.
There's so much I want to say,
man.
And there's so much I want to say, but Lord has guided my tongue. There's so much I want to say, but I cannot find an honorable way to say it, so I'm just not gonna say. But this is the biggest bunch of bull I have ever heard and
it
seen
is.
In my life.
And it's
the sad part is it's making. It's the good activists out there that actually do work and
exactly.
care, and the good preachers that actually do work and care don't just show up at crisis.
Now, I'm going to show you something.
Come on.
Have you seen the good ones step up for this one? No.
Not really. They said they were sitting back watching.
Exactly.
Because they don't have all the details. The water is too muddied.
Talk, man.
The water is too muddy.
Man.
So I'm going to step out and say, even here, you know, when me and you talked about it, it was like, all the information we had was, you know, the first time we mentioned it, I was asking you, please explain to me. I said, because I done watched every news briefing. I done read every article, and I'm confused as all outdoors.
Definitely.
You tried to help me. I was still confused.
Definitely.
Other people called in, tried. I'm still.
Definitely. This is a high-profile case.
Yeah.
And if some of the big high-profile, those that even like the media.
They're not even in it.
They're not even in it.
They're
you got to know something is wrong with this.
Yeah, they're not even
I'm
in it.
I'm serious.
Yeah. Yeah, so, man, anyway, I wanted to bring that up real quick. I'm glad you shared that information with us, man. It's just crazy. It's just crazy. So, anyway, y'all, look, what time is it? 12:46? Okay, we good. We gonna keep it going. It was something else that I wanted to mention to you. I mentioned this last week on the show, and I want to get your perspective on it before we jump into the article, because I think it's gonna kind of fold right into it.
Okay.
I said with all of the the catastrophes happening on the East Coast, with Irma coming and down to tearing up Florida and Harvey tearing up Houston and Mexico with the 8.1 earthquake, one of the highest earthquakes. Ever, one of the highest earthquakes ever on Richter scale hits in history. And then on the West Coast in Oregon and Washington State, you got fires burning over a million acres. I haven't even checked to see if the fire is even still going on. I'm not even sure. But, you know, it's so much stuff happening that you can't even see all that stuff. And then in the Midwest, we got all this violence.
Right.
And I asked this question Monday and Wednesday. With all that stuff going on, why do you think people are not flocking back to the church? It's a big question. It's real general, but I just want to.
I believe one.
Because you would think.
You would think so, but I believe the major reason why is because the church is responding like the world is. We're responding like there's no hope.
Wow.
We're responding like there's no God. There's no, we have no Savior.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're tested, which we are tested now,
mm-hmm.
We don't believe James 1, count it all joy when we fall into divers temptation.
Mm-hmm.
This is the testing of our faith. Every region in the United States is being hit with something.
Mm-hmm.
Natural disasters is being plagued across our country.
Mm-hmm.
However, the church is responding in the most negative way that they can. We're responding in a way that we're disunified. Mm-hmm. We're responding in a way that this group want to take this route, that group want to take that route.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of we all coming together and thinking of a solution
mm-hmm.
that will be comforting
mm-hmm.
to the body that's really being victimized by this.
Mm-hmm.
It's all by most people are going, what can I get out of this? How can I be seen
mm-hmm.
and heard out of this
mm-hmm.
instead of benefiting? What can you do to make the cause look better?
Mm-hmm.
There's many people just right here in the city of Chicago that's dealing with what then took place in Hurricane Harvey.
Mm-hmm.
Case in point, when the city of Chicago up north took the tents from the homeless people, that's a Hurricane Harvey situation.
Mm-hmm.
It might not be a flood. But it's a Harvey because they got their homes taken away for what they only had.
Mm-hmm.
So what are we doing for the least of them?
Mm-hmm.
And so here it is. We're not doing our part as a church. And I believe and I will stick to this because we're sitting around just talking and not moving. Faith without works is dead. We can be the biggest educated, intelligent, when it comes down to words,
mm-hmm.
but we're illiterate when it comes down to actions.
Mm-hmm.
You got churches filled with some of the most educated people in the world doing some of the dumbest stuff I've ever seen in my life.
No common sense.
None. Or as my great grandma said, common sense ain't so common.
Seriously. And so that's what's happening, because now watch this. I'm surprised of this. The lack of pastors, ministers that have the passion for the community. Mm-hmm. I'm shocked of that. Because this is not the church way. The old church is not like this. The old church had respect. They had passion for the community.
Here is the deal. You couldn't be a pastor of a church 20 years ago and this stuff be taking place in your community. Because your church, your congregation would turn around and say, Pastor, what are we about to do?
Yes.
Pastor, what are we going to do? They would push the pastor out there.
Yes.
Now these pastors have – the pastors – appear to have a different different direction that they want to go in. Everything that they're doing is about brand building. Everybody's trying to build their brand.
Why are we not branding Jesus?
We're right. We're trying to build our own brands.
We are.
Such and such ministries. This one over here. This thing over here. Check out my new book. Check out this. Check out. And I'm not knocking nobody for writing a book. I'm not knocking that. Please don't take it the wrong way. But when everything you seem to push is about your brand,
yes,
and you're not pushing Jesus,
yes,
I said this yesterday when the opening of our service, you know, you don't expect your church to grow based off of some scheme. Your church will grow if the Jesus said it clearly. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me.
If I be lifted up, that's something you got to do.
Right, you got to lift him up.
Yeah.
But we try to lift up our brand and our names and our daddy's names and our history and all this other stuff. Jesus is getting lost in the translation.
That's why so many of us are falling.
Yeah.
Because we are exalting ourselves.
Yeah.
And when you exalt yourself, you have nothing to hold you up.
There's no foundation on
none whatsoever.
Yeah.
And so it's sad to say this, because let's take the movement for Hurricane
Harvey.
Mm-hmm. Great movement. It was a great idea. However, I felt, why all these churches, instead of you doing your individual thing,
mm-hmm.
can come together under one umbrella. Let's go to House of Hope. Mm-hmm. Let's go to what United Center.
Right.
Pack this thing out.
Yeah.
Let's raise an offering.
Yeah.
And this would be a representation for the body of Christ of Illinois or Chicago.
Yeah.
Instead of, I'm doing mine on the south side, I'm doing mine on the west side, I'm doing my normal, you know, and then when you got so many people doing the same thing, it's not the numbers is not as effective.
And my question was this, and it's not, I understand what Harvey needs, but it's just like what you said. Why can't we come together with the same passion, the same zeal for the homeless people here in Chicago?
Too much like right, because we don't want the ones that don't have nothing. We only want the ones that are tithers. We only want the ones that can pay a tenth. We only want the ones that can sing.
See, I can't.
We only want the ones that can play.
See, and maybe that's why I'm the way that I am, and that's why certain people get rubbed the wrong way or whatever. It's time out for that, man.
It is.
See, you can't be worried about people's money if I'm more concerned about the check you're gonna write than I am about your soul and your condition.
Yes.
I mean, it's like I see. Here's the deal. See, God don't care nothing about your name.
He don't.
He cares about your condition.
That's it.
See, now, if it's just about your name, then see, you can make your name great or you can screw up your name.
Yeah.
God cares about your condition.
That's true.
And we ought to be concerned about people's condition and not the name or some fake legacy that we've built up over the years, some remanufactured history that half of it is like a fish tail. You know, the fish was really this big, but by the time you tell it the fifth time, you caught a half a shark.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
and
we're not giving people are not getting a real we're not presenting Jesus in the right light.
We're not.
We're presenting this watered down, remanufactured, remixed, duplicated, dubbed over 15 times, bootleg version.
Yes.
That I bought at the barbershop. Jesus.
We still acting here for necessities. Well, he already promised that's mandatory.
That's a given.
That's a given.
Right.
And this, I mean, you know, it's a sad state and day in the church, because I was preaching yesterday telling them you're a winner. Mm-hmm. The race is not given to the swift nor to the strong. But, you know, it's amazing how I get text messages from people, members, friends, pray for me. I can't make it to church. I'm in so much pain. Pray for me. I can't do this. Can't get to church because of that. This is the time you need the church.
Yeah.
Your perseverance.
Yeah.
It speaks volumes with your relationship.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a lot of times I can see that we unrelational when it comes down to our relationship with the Lord.
Yeah.
We're not covenant like we used to be. We're not God-fearing like we used to be. And so here, even go back to the old church. You know, the old church, even though he didn't know a lot, he wasn't that educated. One thing I can testify, he knew the Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah. He knew the Lord.
Yeah.
And he presented the Lord to many. And I believe we're losing out on this salvation. Now we're so educated that we're given so much false doctrine across the board.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody got their take on what I should believe in, what is right for me and what is best for me. And now I believe most people, and to cap it off, most people run from the church because they're confused.
Absolutely. That's it right there.
They're confused.
Because the teaching has gotten so, we've tried to, like you said this yourself, you try to be so doggone deep.
Yes.
That you can't keep, you ain't keeping nobody.
Yes.
And I said this, after all the shouting is done, after all the speaking in tongues is done, after all that dancing is done, is anybody's life being changed?
Bottom line. But if you get a whole bottle of oil poured on your head, and after you get that poured on your head during service, then that same night you're sleeping around, something wrong.
You just greasy now. That's
you just oily.
You just
slippery.
That's it. Now you're right.
Slippery.
You just leave a trail.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to start calling you spotty.
Slick.
I'm just saying, man, we're our focus on the true identity of the church is not there anymore.
Yes.
And I believe because most people don't understand it because it's not being taught, because we're teaching all this deep stuff. We want to be so deep and so rich. I got a prophetic word. I got this.
See, and here's the deal. And it's not that we're knocking, you know, we're not knocking people for education because we both trying, we both of us in school now. So we're not knocking education. But my deal is this. Here's the thing. We spend so much time preaching surface. All this giving God praise and all that. Okay, fine. But let's get beyond the surface and let's start to dig a little bit. But let's not dig, and I don't need you to break down the Greek and the Hebrew for me. See that? All that is, that's wonderful when you're preaching to preachers. You know?
Talk, man.
if I'm in a room full of preachers, you know, I want to brag a little bit. Yeah.
Talk.
I'm going to tell you about the Hebrew meaning, and this is from the Latin, and this is this, and this really comes from the Aramaic and all. Yeah, whatever. But when you're just talking to folk, and yeah, you're going to shout me, preacher, but preacher, I got 3 bills that's past due.
And you know what's so funny?
Come on now. I got my lights been on for a week and a half, preacher. Or my husband whoops my behind as soon as I come home from church on Sunday, preacher. Or, you know what I'm saying? Or my boss is 1 minute from firing me, preacher. After I get done shouting.
You're talking. Here it is. But layman, I got to be real with you. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approval.
Yeah.
Workmen need to not be ashamed, rightly divided the road of truth. So here, you hear all this fancy talking, mm-hmm. good, as we call it on softball, this good preaching,
uh-huh.
You know, using these big words.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as they seem to be deep, you trying to shout, and they was all the way wrong with their,
right.
They was wrong with their hermeneutics.
Right.
They was just wrong. You don't know it. It just sound good
it
to you.
It sounded good.
Yeah. It sound good, and it just tickled your fancy. Like, he was so deep. Oh, did you hear what he just said?
Mm-hmm.
And he could have just, I mean, you dumbfounded.
I hear folks shouting amen to stuff. I can't say it because I don't want to get started. I don't want to know.
Okay,
but I've heard folks. I've been in pulpits, and some people have been preaching, and they'll say some stuff, and I hear somebody holler "Amen," and I want to look at that person and say, "What did you just amen?"
Hey,
do you really know what you just hollered amen to?
Man, you finna make
me. Or they holler well, and I want to ask well what?
You finna make me holler.
I want to holler well what?
I think I said this before on the
come
show.
On, come on.
When I was at Greater St. John.
Oh,
there was a deacon that was praying.
Uh-huh.
And he said, the Bible said, uh-huh, the apple don't fall too far from the tree.
Uh-huh.
I hear nothing but, amen, you right about that. The Bible didn't say nothing about that, man. We're so emotional.
It is.
We're caught up. If you got the right sound, you'll fool a lot of people.
Man, look, all you got to do is get up there and say some words. Mix a verse or two of a hymn from the Bible. Verse or two from a hymn in the hymnal.
You ain't lying.
And if you throw that in there, you ain't lying.
You're on to something.
You'll get a couple of old saints.
Yes, sir.
They come on now, and they'll shout with you.
Yes, sir.
And then before you know it, a couple more people start shouting too because they don't want to miss it.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the day, all you do is go home with a wetsuit.
Man, listen, I never forget when Pastor Acri one day, he was preaching and some of his sermons, you know, he could be comical. And one of the ladies came up to him at the service and said, Pastor, you should know you were showing up funny today.
Mm-hmm.
And that was an insult to him because he wanted to get you saved, get you right. He don't want to be funny.
Right.
And so it lets me know that when we are preaching, some people look for the wrong stuff.
Yeah. But because, see, they don't, this is what happens. People don't recognize that they come for, it's the entertainment value. People are coming to church to be, like they say, I need a word. I am so sick. I need a word. What word do you need? Because I got a few for you, and they ain't in the Bible. The one that I think you need. Like, get somewhere and shut the... I mean, I'm serious. Like, I need a word, preacher. What word do you need?
My right-handed God. Last week, I was just at the store.
Uh-huh.
At, you know, my car, you got pastor sign.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So a lady go ask me, are you a pastor? I said, yeah. She getting in her car. She said, well, give me a word for the day. I said, rest.
See? See?
Wait.
Come on. See?
I said, rest.
Uh-huh.
She said, ooh.
She got half. You probably shot at her right there.
She said, ooh, thank you. Ooh. Ooh, ooh. I'm sorry, man. But I laughed so hard, man, when I got in that car, man. I said, man, people were seeing you off. And now, guess what? That would happen to somebody else. They're going to put a Facebook post. Man, I need 50 people to say rest. Shout rest.
Rest. Hashtag rest. Rest. Prophet. I was in the parking lot. The prophet spoke to me. He just said rest.
He said rest.
Rest.
Rest. How you know how to sleep? Because you got bags in your eyes.
Right. Rest.
How you know I'm tired? You look tired.
Right. Your whole eye, your eyeball closed. Rest. So when rest.
Don't rest.
Right. Girl, he spoke to my heart,
daughter.
He just said rest. That's just, I mean, that, but that's the silliness of that. That's the silliness. That's unfortunate, man. That's how silly it's become. Bless y'all on Facebook, man. I'm sorry. Kathleen said they need to hear from God for themselves, not rely on the words from others. That's the word they need. Yeah, yeah. I mean, but it's just funny. I just find that so funny, man. It's you know, people claim to be hungry, thirsty for the word, but you won't even open up your Bible before Sunday.
Rest,
because I'm resting.
I got 11 viewers here. I'm speaking rest.
Rest. Look, can I get five of y'all? Just
five.
Rest.
Can I get five of y'all? Just
five. Rest.
Rest. Hey, how you been looking at
No.
Kobe Mitchell?
No. Okay.
Bless God. Bless God. I serve a best God.
No, I can't. He was on some last night, and people were sharing it.
I serve a best God. Amen.
Okay.
Amen. Amen.
You need so much
I
help.
Need you to sing a song for me.
Oh, God. Kathleen says, people are worried about what they can get from God instead of serving. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, that's good. You know what? Look, y'all, we're going to take a real quick break. When we come back, we're going to jump right into today's conversation. God uses big leaders in small churches. I don't know what to do about this dude. God uses big leaders
in small churches.
We got to get, when we dismiss, we got to dismiss this section. Back row first.
We'll be right back, y'all. CTLO. Norman Hutchins? I'm not sure. Somebody help me out. My gospel song official. My gospel aficionado. But you did say the word like that.
Hey,
I didn't trip. You did say the word right, though.
Hey, I haven't been butchering words.
Hey, I'm going to tell you right now. Call no names, but you got some competition.
Uh oh.
Can't do it.
Please do.
I can't.
No,
I can't.
Seriously.
I can't.
Do we come on the show?
I can't. I can't. Wait. Give me a couple of weeks. I don't know. I can't. No. But let me tell you. Oh, Lord, you got some competition.
Okay, look.
I want to ask, is he related? Because he. Whoo! Boy!
Man, please.
I mean, serious. Serious competition. Tell, I mean, they wrote a whole new dictionary.
Leroy Elliott.
Who is? How do you know who that is?
You don't know who Leroy Elliott is?
No, who's that? I'm for real. Who's Leroy Elliott?
Man.
The name sounds familiar.
I dropped the mic.
I don't know who that. This person that needs to drop the mic to. And I mean that. Don't ever pick it up.
You want our friend?
Say, tell him he know the guy.
Just whisper. Come on.
Oh, just whisper.
Come on, man.
You ain't allowed. You stay. You supposed to be telling me to stop.
I bet you are. Just text it. I said either.
You supposed to be telling me to stop.
Just text it.
She gonna text it. Okay. When you
man. That was Joshua Troop.
Oh, thank you, Joshua Troop. Is that Percy Beatty? That's not Percy Beatty, right? Percy Beatty don't do Joshua Troop, did?
Yeah, that's one of his, right?
Okay. I couldn't remember who that was. I'm like, wait a minute, yeah. She gonna text it to you. Good.
I'm waiting.
Anyway, while he's waiting,
I'm about to die laughing. Somebody I'm knowing cool with. I probably already know too.
You know him. I don't know if you're cool with him. But you know him. Anyway.
Oh, my God.
She just texted you.
It's a crayon color?
She just texted you.
Your last name starts with crayon color?
See, now you're doing too much. You're supposed to just get the text and not say nothing. Don't be giving
saying,
no clue.
No, I'm not saying
you,
who it is.
You're giving clue.
Right. But
don't give no clue. The only clue is you know it. Done, though. I'm done. I mean, can't. Good Lord. Oh, God. Joshua Troop. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Anyway, let's go. Oh, God. We're going to go on with the show. So, anyway, how
he ain't my uncle.
That was the going joke we had. We just said he got to be.
No.
Because if we were going to say that, we understand it ain't your fault.
No, man.
Because I'm trying to tell
man,
you.
Man, Mr.
Can't read. I'm sorry. Let me. And you said. Okay, never mind. Let's get on with the article because I feel trouble coming. God uses big leaders in small churches. God uses big leaders in small churches. Let me get this thing going. God uses big leaders in small churches. The writer says this. The writer says, Lakeside Wesleyan Church in Lakeside, California was the first church I served at as a staff member. He says, it was a small church with a big heart, and I learned much from Rich Lobby, who was the pastor. He says, in my eyes, Pastor Rich was a big leader, and his early investment in me made a life-changing difference. Under his coaching, I preached my first sermon, did my first hospital visit, and led a student ministry. The significance of a leader, and especially the pastor in a small church, cannot be overestimated. He says, like Pastor Rich, the leader sets the pace for the rest of the pack. He or she sets the vision, takes the risk, and influences the other leaders and volunteers. And we know that next to the favor of God, everything rises and falls on leadership. In the previous post, he says, I offered 5 helpful words that focus the church itself. This post offers 6 helpful words for leaders of the church. So we're going to go right there. 6 helpful words for leaders of a small church. Go ahead, brother.
Number 1, courage. When you face a fear or take a task, it doesn't matter if you have 50 or 5,000 attending your church.
Mm.
Whether you're at the edge of your budget or need comfort a board member, it feels the same regardless of the size of your congregation.
Mm-hmm.
The difference is the size of the leader. Leaders grow by gaining courage. It may sound strange, but you have to practice courage. You can't read about it and get it. You can listen to a talk or read something and be inspired to do what you need to do.
Mm.
But you don't really gain courage until you take action.
Wow. That's good. That's good.
That's, you know, honestly, I kind of figured these are going to be some good points.
Yeah.
I was always taught that you take your best teachers to teach the babies.
Mm. Okay.
Because it's how they start off will help them to be developed in the next stages in life.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If they have a great teacher in the beginning, that teacher is disciplining them. That teacher is giving them some sound teaching,
mm-hmm.
and equipping their mind
yeah.
to receive
yeah.
a good education versus somebody who allowing them to escape through.
That's the one of the biggest issues is that you don't have sound teaching for babies.
Yeah.
One of my things is, and I hate, you know, even I remember here at our church here, we had a powerful youth ministry at one time. My brother, Pastor Winder, was the youth pastor here.
Uh-huh.
And shortly after he left, it all just kind of
yeah.
fell back on, yeah. let's just do whatever.
Because those are hard shoes to fill.
They are. And when you have someone like him who had a vision for the youth church,
uh-huh.
and here's the deal. You know, as a pastor, I believe one of the things you have to, if you hire someone to run a ministry, and you probably can attest to this too, as prime example, the story you tell all the time about how you were the worship pastor at St. John, at Greater St. John. He let once he put you in charge, he let you do it.
He let me do it.
He let
That's
you
good.
Do it.
Yep.
He said, okay, this is what here is my vision.
Yeah.
Here's where you fit into it. Yeah. Now just do your part.
Exactly.
And I ain't going to bother you.
Bottom line.
And that's why he said, that's why he came to you. I love the example you gave where he said, hey, man, I might go a little bit over my time.
Exactly.
Because
right.
he respected
yeah.
what you had done
exactly.
with it to a point where I don't want to mess up what we got going.
Exactly.
But then you as a leader recognize, say, hey, wait a minute. I'm still under your leadership.
Exactly.
So ain't nothing you can do to mess this up because
exactly.
at the end of the day, we all following you.
Exactly. You know, I often ask this question. And I was just talking to somebody who wasn't in church.
Mm-hmm.
That's not in the church.
Mm-hmm.
Know the Lord and all, but he don't know the whole ins and out of church.
Okay.
And we was talking about the size of my ministry versus the potentials that I can be at or go to another larger church and
mm-hmm.
pastor
mm-hmm.
and be. I feel I'd be more
mm-hmm.
valuable.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "No, you at where God wants you to be."
Yeah. Absolutely.
And I really, when he said that, it sucked in. And I'm sitting here looking like, man, you don't understand what I go through
yeah.
and all that.
Yeah.
But then when you look at it, I do have courage.
Yeah.
But you got to be willing to take risk. You got to be willing to step out in faith and all that. And a lot of guys who got it already,
mm-hmm.
they're not operating off faith. They operate off numbers.
Mm-hmm.
See, one that got small church, small membership,
mm-hmm.
you have no other choice but to depend on God.
Yeah.
because you're trying to make ends meet. Yeah. Your tithes and offerings.
Yep. Yep.
You don't know who's going to come in service this week or not. And then it becomes almost embarrassment
yeah.
that you got visitors come in and it seems like you're all out of whack because you don't even know who's going to be there. Seriously. And so now it falls back on how big the leader is
mm-hmm.
because a leader know how to shift during the midst of the service
yeah.
to make it more pleasant
yeah.
for the atmosphere of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, yeah. You need to be able to recognize when the Spirit is moving in a particular
exactly.
direction.
Exactly.
And not necessarily, and not that you allow it, but you make room for it.
You make room for it.
You have to make room
yeah.
for it. And that means get outside of your program sometimes. And
sometimes.
Well.
Yeah. But that, you know.
Some people sometimes a lot.
Man, yeah.
Like once a year.
Yeah. yeah. yeah.
But this is good. This is good. It requires courage. I think that's part of some of the issues is we're people are afraid to upset the apple cart.
Yeah.
Because they're afraid that if I step out, it's going to I don't think there's anything wrong with challenging leadership. I think if you do it respectfully, it's not that I'm trying to challenge you as chairman of this or you the captain or the president of this. It's just look, I'm challenging you to do better.
You know, here, courage.
Yeah.
I'm going to show you something. If you are a swimmer,
mm-hmm.
seriously,
mm-hmm.
it don't matter what feet of water you swim in,
mm-hmm.
you should be able to swim.
That's true. If you're a swimmer.
If
you are a swimmer.
You can swim in 3 feet
yep.
versus 100 feet of water.
Yeah.
If you are a swimmer.
If you are a swimmer.
And what happened, most people drown
mm-hmm.
because they forget they know how to swim. Mm.
Wow. Because they get afraid of the
and they get afraid circumstance. Of the circumstance.
Because it ain't because see
in our mind it's deeper.
Yeah. It's deeper than I'm used to what I'm used to.
Used to. But it's still the same method.
All you gotta do is swim.
All you gotta do is swim.
But you float if you can float in 5 feet, you can float in the ocean.
Definitely. and to be honest, it's much harder
yeah.
to float in 5 feet than it is in the
come on.
And our mindset and when it comes to courage here. We walk by faith, not by sight. And that's what happens when most times we don't have the courage because we take our eye off the prize.
That's good. That's good. Let's keep going. Go ahead. Read number two.
Investment.
Yeah.
Thinking of pouring into your leaders, like consistently depositing money in a bank account and leaving it there. At first, it doesn't seem like much, but in time, the dividends are substantial. That's how leadership develop works. Starting small is okay. In fact, that's a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Leadership development is not an event-oriented program in which you see how big a crowd you can draw.
Hmm.
Here's how you start. Gather your top 5 to 7 leaders.
Mm-hmm.
Pick a good leadership book like John Maxwell, 5 Levels of Leadership, one of my favorite books.
Very good book.
Meet monthly for 5 months
mm-hmm.
and ask these 2 questions.
Mm-hmm.
What are you learning?
Mm-hmm.
How are you applying what you are learning?
Mm-hmm.
That's it. In time, you will have other groups and add to the learning experience, but simplicity and consistencies are essential to the process.
Mm-hmm.
Here,
mm-hmm.
in that 5 Levels of Leadership,
yep.
most preachers are only positional leaders.
That's it. That's it.
They haven't got to the people development stage.
Nope. They're just holding the position.
They're just holding a position.
That's it.
And I would encourage every believer that's listening to us today to get that book, 5 Levels of Leadership, John Maxwell.
Here's the problem. And it's not a book just for pastors.
It's not.
It is not a book for
it's
preachers.
It's not.
But here is the problem I have with lay Christians or lazy Christians.
Uh-huh.
Because I have a problem with lazy people, period. But
gotcha.
Here's the problem with lazy Christians. They'll sit up and make an excuse and say, I don't want to read. I'm not going to no Bible study where somebody teaching out of a book. I want the teacher ought to be teaching out the Bible. Okay. You've been in church 30 years, and the Bible ain't changed, and you ain't either. So maybe we need to get a different book that's biblically based and that has biblical concepts so that it can get through your thick skull. Because obviously, this Bible that you claim you've been reading for 30 years ain't working. So we need to give you a different perspective on the same book. So, but people will see this and go, I don't want to read nothing about it. Who is John Maxwell?
We're so closed-minded. we are.
That's it.
We're so box-minded.
That's
we're
it.
Boat-minded. Man, listen, if you ever want to walk on water, first you must get out the boat.
Ooh, that's good. Somebody preached that, too. I heard somebody. I heard that preacher a couple of times.
You got to. That's one of my favorite books.
Yeah.
In order to walk on water, first you must get out the boat.
Yeah.
And we are boat potatoes.
Mm.
Not couch potatoes. We boat potatoes.
Wow.
While it's rocky in our life, we'd rather sit there in the rockiness instead of getting up doing something about it. And it's saddened that we don't want to broaden our horizon when it comes down to Christian education.
Yeah.
Because here, Christian education is much deeper than the Bible.
It is. It is. And you're not going to get – it's no different than – because, see, that would be like us reading the Bible but skip the commentary.
Bottom line.
See, Jesus didn't write the commentary, so I'm not going to read it.
Bottom line.
I know you couldn't read them. I mean, now, I don't even get that. I like what Leslie says. Most of these people probably never pick up any kind of book. That's true.
And that's true.
That's very true.
That's very true.
That's very true. Unless it's 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah. Or porn or Ebony or.
Who's Ebony? Not the magazine.
ESPN. I'm serious.
ESPN, the magazine.
Yeah, man, they only pick up stuff with pictures.
See? Number three says, and we're talking about five, not five, but God uses big leaders in small churches. God uses big leaders in small churches. Number three says this, faith. He says, good leaders have great faith. This thought has humbled me over the years because I don't know that I always had such great faith.
Man.
But God is kind and grants favor for belief, even the size of a mustard seed. He says, I've learned it's not just how big my faith is, though that matters. It's more about the source of my faith. He says, the fact that I trust God in my daily breath and bread and for every moment of leadership favor leads to my own increasing faith. He says, I think that is true for you, too. You have faith in God for your salvation. You know his grace and love. That's the foundation. And you build upon to see him do great things in your church and through your leadership.
Wow.
I think that's part of our issue is we don't have I think part of some churches today is they don't have their own set of faith. They're living on grandmama's and granddaddy's faith.
Can I be real with you?
Come on.
Most preachers who cast vision don't even believe in their own vision.
Ooh. Now you might well not tell nobody.
Because 9 times out of 10, their vision was somebody else's vision.
Wow.
And it sounded good for them, so let me try it.
Wow.
And so, you know, I thank God that I am truly a man of faith.
Wow.
I can joke around, I can act goofy, crazy, and all that stuff, but there's some characters that I have in me. That I promise you that you cannot take it away from me. One of my strongest traits is faith. One of my strongest traits is my heart. One of my strongest traits is outreach giving and all that. Faith, I mean, I'm talking about you got to have faith to the point that when you know your cell phone bill is due, you don't have money, you're going to call Sprint and know that they're not going to cut you off. I'm serious.
Uh-huh.
You got to have... Faith got to be all across the board.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about there have been times that I didn't have no gas that I left a place to go 20, 30 miles and I still made it while the light was on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not saying I didn't pray 10 times before I got there, but I got there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of times we are tested through our faith is tested through tribulation, through trial, and what happens, it consumes us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when we get our equilibrium is thrown off because we take our eye off the direction that we should be going, and now we're looking at the task. Here, if I'm riding a motorcycle, they teach you when you're going in on a turn, never look down. Always look straight.
Mm.
If you look down, you're tilt down. If you look straight, the bike will go exactly where your eyes is going.
Uh-huh.
And so you don't have to do too much turning. Just allow your eyes to lead you versus you looking down. And once you look down, you're going to fall down.
Yep.
And a lot of times we fall because we keep looking down.
Wow.
We got to keep having our head held high and trust and believe that faith is what takes us every place that we need to go.
That's good.
I don't care what giftedness you have. I don't care what you're good singing and all that. It's your faith that opens up doors for you. If you don't know how to pray, if you don't have sincere faith, listen here. And then we use that term loosely with the mustard seed faith because we really don't even dig into how small of a faith you need for doors to open.
Yeah.
You know, what happens?
See, we get stuck on the mustard seed side. We don't recognize that, okay, that was an example that's all the faith you need.
Exactly.
But that didn't say that your faith needs to grow.
See, we keep saying, well, I just got the faith of a mustard seed. Okay, fine. But how long are you still walking around with this mustard seed faith?
That's true.
At what point does your seed become a plant faith?
That's true.
Tree-sized faith.
Yes.
Mountain-sized faith. I mean, come on now. But you still, I got mustard seed faith. Okay. You've been in church 35 years, and that's all. The only thing you can muster up is mustard-sized faith. This much.
Yeah, but they can't even tell you where's that in the Bible, though.
You know what? See.
Number four.
Some people will make a mistake. Grandma said instead of the Bible said.
Number four, competence. The writer says, what are you good at? That's the question all leaders must grapple with. What is the strength of your leadership? Are you a good communicator? Perhaps you're more of a developer. Maybe you are a fantastic administrator. Or are you really good with people? Are you a visionary with ideas? He says, no leader is good at everything. So figure out what your strength is and lean into it.
Lord have mercy.
Improvement is always worthwhile, but don't try to be great at something that's not your gifting.
Oh,
my God. Surround yourself with others who can buttress your weaker areas. Let me address one specific area. If you don't consider yourself to be a great speaker, how do you fix that? First, speak shorter. About 25 minutes is good. Second, let others teach too, perhaps 12 to 15 times a year.
Wow. That's good.
Come on.
Because every great pastor is not a great preacher.
There's a whole lot of administrative stuff that goes behind pastoring.
Exactly. And now we got to define what is preaching.
Yep.
Because you and to be honest, which the shorter the message, the better it is. Yeah. In today's time, with our attention span,
I would want to agree with you. If I get present tense out of my mind, I would want to agree with you.
Okay.
But yes, you are right. Most of the time, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's all, folks. I'm sorry. I ain't gonna be before you long. I ain't gonna be before you long.
Literally,
you sure ain't.
Oh my God.
I'm just saying. Let me stop. I've been told to move on. All right, come on. We gotta go.
Patience.
Go ahead. Number five. Please go.
Patience. We all want our people to mature in less time.
Yes.
We want the budget to increase quicker and our church to grow faster.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't work that way. Even for churches that seem to experience explosive growth,
mm-hmm.
I promise some things challenge the patience of the leader.
Mm.
You can't make your church grow. You can do the things right. You can do the right things like pray, encourage, develop leaders, share your faith, invite people, and teach God's word. It's important to remain consistent in those things with passion, mm-hmm. but also with patience, because ultimately the harvest is up to God.
You could have gave a benediction with the part where you said you can't make the church grow.
You know, my church needs to hear that.
You can't.
My church needs to hear that.
And a whole lot of churches need to hear
because
it.
Because I'm so tired of members putting the growth on her pastor.
Yeah.
That's totally wrong.
Yeah.
People get people, so sheep get sheep.
Come on now.
That is all.
Yeah, you can't make the church grow. Not at all. Last one. The writer says this, love. He says, it's curious to me that we don't often talk about leadership and love in the same context. Love is at the core of the gospel and certainly the driving force of our leadership as well.
That's good.
It's the great source of your God's power for your ministry. He says, God's love for you is extraordinary. And the core of your leadership is based on that love. No matter how tough it is, no matter how tough it might get, or how blessed you might be, or discouraged you might become, God calls you to love people. Take time to reflect on God's love for you. It's surprising how easily we can lose sight of that on a personal level when constantly in the trenches of ministry. Let that love flow through your leadership. He says, my prayer is that we'll continue to bless you and your leadership. Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, I like this.
Yeah, I do too.
Both of these, man, patience and love. I mean,
I do too.
You and it's one of those things where I know me. I have issues with patience. And my issues with patience, not that I'm not patient, is I'm not patient when I know it can be fixed right now.
That's right.
See, when I know it can be fixed right now, you have the means of how to fix it. I don't have time for that.
I agree with you.
Now if you say we got a project, then I have to be patient with a project.
Yeah.
But if this is an issue where, hey, this carpet tore up and we need to get some new carpet and we got the means to get new carpet,
yeah.
I ain't got no patience for that.
Yeah.
Go get the carpet.
Yeah. Yeah.
What you waiting on?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
This is good though, man. This was
this good.
Is real good. I like this concept of big leaders in small churches.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people came from that environment. I love going back, listen to it. I know it's time to go and we'll let you pray out in a minute. When I go back and I watch the story of Bishop T.D. Jakes, how he started his church with I think it was 20 people in West Virginia.
Uh-huh.
And in 5 years, that 20 became in 10 years, it became 2,000.
Yeah.
And that's just based off of the work ethic.
Yeah.
And the guy said something up here earlier, right at the, I think it was in the end of Patience, when he talked about being consistent.
Uh-huh.
He says, remain consistent in those things, prayer, encourage and develop leaders. If you're constantly praying and you're constantly developing leaders and you're constantly sharing your faith, then your church will grow.
The catch is
you
can't allow the enemy to constantly discourage you.
Ooh, that's good.
Because when he discourages you, passion begin to leave.
That's good. That's good.
And that's where a lot of us fall short at.
That's good.
We get stagnated because not that we don't love the Lord or want to do it, but because sometimes our atmosphere consumes us.
And then we want to go back to the familiar.
Exactly.
Which was barely making it.
Exactly.
Come on, pray.
Father in heaven, we thank you, honor you, God. It's good that you have allowed your spirit to dwell, God. Many issues, many circumstances in our city, our nation. We pray that you cover us all, God. We pray that you lead and guide us, be our footstep, God. We pray that you be a refuge. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Look, y'all, it's been great. Glad to have my brother back in the studio. Going to be back on Wednesday. I think the Cardinal might actually be in town. I know he was on Facebook last night, 11:30, talking about, stay in town, getting a snowball at 11:30. On Western. What was you doing on Western? I don't even want to know. But anyway, it's been great, y'all. We appreciate y'all. Hope y'all got something out of today's show. We will see y'all on Monday back and better than ever. And remember, if you got to go through this special city we call Chicago, please, for your sake and mine, keep your head on the swivel. We got to go, y'all. Y'all stay blessed. Peace. Up my cross, it's a death.